Chapter 125. I led up to it. Bella's hand was round his neck by this time, and her face was on it. The mercenary young person distantly related to myself, said her good father, did well. The mercenary young person distantly related to myself, did not trust to me in vain. I admire this mercenary young person distantly related to myself, more in this dress, than if she had come to me in China silks, cashmere shawls, and Golconda diamonds. I love this young person dearly. I say to the man of this young person's heart, out of my heart, and with all of it, my blessing on this engagement betwixt you, and she brings you a good fortune, when she brings you the poverty she has accepted for your sake and the honest truths. The stanch little man's voice failed him as he gave John Rokesmith his hand, and he was silent, bending his face low over his daughter. But, not for long. He soon looked up, saying in a sprightly tone, "And now, my dear child, if you think you can entertain John Rokesmith for a minute and a half, I'll run over to the dairy, and fetch him a cottage loaf and a drink of milk, that we may all have tea together." It was, as Bella gaily said, like the supper provided for the three nursery hobgoblins at their house in the forest, without their thunderous low growlings of the alarming discovery, "Somebody's been drinking my milk." It was a delicious repast, by far the most delicious that Bella, or John Rokesmith, or even our Wilfer had ever made. The uncongenial oddity of its surroundings, with the two brass knobs of the iron safe of Chixie, Veneering, and Stobble staring from a corner, like the eyes of some dull dragon, only made it the more delightful. "To think," said the cherub, looking round the office with unspeakable enjoyment, "that anything of a tender nature should come off here, is what tickles me. To think that ever I should have seen my Bella folded in the arms of her future husband, here, you know." It was not until the cottage loaves, and the milk had for some time disappeared, and the foreshadowings of night were creeping over Mincing Lane, that the cherub by degrees became a little nervous, and said to Bella, as he cleared his throat, "Hem. Have you thought at all about your mother, my dear? Yes, Pennsylvania, and your sister Lavi, for instance, my dear? Yes, Pa. I think we had better not enter into particulars at home. I think it will be quite enough to say that I had a difference with Mr. Boffin, and have left for good. John Rokesmith being acquainted with your ma, my love," said her father, after some slight hesitation, "I need have no delicacy in hinting before him that you may perhaps find your ma a little wearing. A little patient, Pa?" Said Bella with a tuneful laugh, the tunefuller for being so loving in its tone. "Well, we'll say, strictly in confidence among ourselves, wearing, we won't qualify it," the cherub stoutly admitted. "And your sister's temper is wearing. I don't mind Pennsylvania, and you must prepare yourself, you know, my precious," said her father, with much gentleness, "for our looking very poor and meager at home, and being at the best but very uncomfortable, after Mr. Boffin's house. I don't mind, Pa. I could bear much harder trials for John." The closing words were not so softly and blushingly said, but that John heard them, and showed that he heard them by again assisting Bella to another of those mysterious disappearances. "Well," said the cherub gaily, and not expressing disapproval, when you come back from retirement, my love, and reappear on the surface, I think it will be time to lock up and go. If the counting house of Chixie, Veneering, and Stobbles had ever been shut up by three happier people, glad as most people were to shut it up, they must have been superlatively happy indeed. But first Bella mounted upon Rumpty's perch, and said, "Show me what you do here all day long, dear Pa. Do you write like this?" apostrophe laying her round cheek upon her plump left arm, and losing sight of her pen in waves of hair, in a highly unbusinesslike manner. Though John Rokesmith seemed to like it. So, the three hobgoblins, having effaced all traces of their feast, and swept up the crumbs, came out of Mincing Lane to walk to Holloway, and if two of the hobgoblins didn't wish the distance twice, as long as it was, the third hobgoblin was much mistaken. Indeed, that modest spirit deemed himself so much in the way of their deep enjoyment of the journey, that he apologetically remarked, "I think, my dears, I'll take the lead on the other side of the road, and seem not to belong to you." Apostrophe which he did, cherubically strewing the path with smiles, in the absence of flowers. It was almost 10 o'clock, when they stopped within view of Wilfer Castle, and then, the spot being quiet and deserted, Bella began a series of disappearances which threatened to last all night. "I think, John," apostrophe the cherub hinted at last, "that if you can spare me the young person distantly related to myself, I'll take her in." Apostrophe, "I can't spare her," apostrophe answered John, "but I must lend her to you." Apostrophe, "my darling." Apostrophe, apostrophe, a word of magic which caused Bella instantly to disappear again. "Now, dearest Pa," apostrophe said Bella, when she became visible, "put your hand in mine, and we'll run home as fast as ever we can run, and get it over. Now, Pa. Once." Apostrophe, "my dear," apostrophe the cherub faltered, with something of a craven air, "I was going to observe that, if your mother apostrophe, you mustn't hang back, sir, to guy in time," apostrophe cried Bella, putting out her right foot. "Do you see that, sir? That's the mark. Come up to the mark, sir. Once. Twice. Three times and away, Pa." Apostrophe off she skimmed, bearing the cherub along, nor ever stopped, nor suffered him to stop, until she had pulled at the bell. "Now, dear Pa," apostrophe said Bella, taking him by both ears, as if he were a pitcher, and conveying his face to her rosy lips, "we are in for it." Apostrophe, apostrophe, Miss Lavey came out to open the gate, waited on by that attentive cavalier and friend of the family, Mr. George Sampson. "Why, it's never Bella!" Apostrophe, apostrophe, exclaimed Miss Lavey, starting back at the sight. And then bawled, "Ma, here's Bella!" Apostrophe, this produced, before they could get into the house, Mrs. Wilfer, who, standing in the portal, received them with ghostly gloom, and all her other appliances of ceremony. "My child is welcome, though unlooked for," apostrophe said she, at the time presenting her cheek, as if it were a cool slate for visitors to enroll themselves upon. "You too, R. W., are welcome, though late. Does the male domestic of Mrs. Boffin hear me there?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, this deep-toned inquiry was cast forth into the night, for response from the menial in question. "There is no one waiting, Ma, dear," apostrophe said Bella. "There is no one waiting?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, repeated Miss Wilfer in majestic accents. "No, Ma, dear." Apostrophe, a dignified shiver pervaded Mrs. Wilfer's shoulders and gloves, as who should say, an enigma. Apostrophe, apostrophe, and then she marched at the head of the procession to the family keeping room, where she observed, "Unless, R.W. Colon, who started on being solemnly turned upon, you have taken the precaution of making some addition to our frugal supper on your way home, it will prove but a distasteful one to Bella. Cold neck of mutton and a lettuce can ill compete with the luxuries of Mr. Boffin's board." Apostrophe, pray don't talk like that, Ma dear, apostrophe said Bella, "Mr. Boffin's board is nothing to me." Apostrophe, but, here Miss Lavinia, who had been intently eyeing Bella's bonnet, struck in with, "Why, Bella." Apostrophe, apostrophe, "Yes, Lavi, I know." Apostrophe, the irrepressible lowered her eyes to Bella's dress, and stooped to look at it, exclaiming again, "Why, Bella." Apostrophe, apostrophe, "Yes, Lavi, I know what I have got on. I was going to tell Ma when you interrupted. I have left Mr. Boffin's house for good, Ma, and I have come home again. Apostrophe, Mrs. Wilfer spake no word, but, having glared at her offspring for a minute or two in an awful silence, retired into her corner of state backward, and sat down, like a frozen article on sale in a Russian market. In short, dear Ma, apostrophe, said Bella, taking off the depreciated bonnet and shaking out her hair, I have had a very serious difference with Mr. Boffin on the subject of his treatment of a member of his household, and it's a final difference, and there's an end of all. Apostrophe, and I am bound to tell you, my dear, apostrophe, added R.W., submissively, that Bella has acted in a truly brave spirit, and with a truly right feeling. And therefore I hope, my dear, you'll not allow yourself to be greatly disappointed. Apostrophe, George. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Miss Lavey, in a sepulchral, warning voice, founded on her mother's. George Sampson, speak. What did I tell you about those Boffins? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mr. Sampson, perceiving his frail bark to be laboring among shoals and breakers, thought it safest not to refer back to any particular thing that he had been told, lest he should refer back to the wrong thing. With admirable seamanship he got his bark into deep water by murmuring, yes indeed. Apostrophe, yes. I told George Sampson, as George Sampson tells you, said Miss Lavey, that those hateful Boffins would pick a quarrel with Bella as soon as her novelty had worn off. Have they done it, or have they not? Was I right, or was I wrong? And what do you say to us, Bella, of your Boffins now? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Lavey and Ma, apostrophe, said Bella, I say of Mr. and Mrs. Boffin what I always have said. And I always shall say of them what I always have said. But nothing will induce me to quarrel with anyone tonight. I hope you are not sorry to see me, Ma dear, apostrophe, kissing her. And I hope you are not sorry to see me, Lavey, apostrophe, kissing her too. And as I notice the lettuce Ma mentioned on the table, I'll make the salad. Apostrophe, Bella playfully setting herself about the task, Mrs. Wilfer's impressive countenance followed her with glaring eyes, presenting a combination of the once popular sign of the Saracen's head with a piece of Dutch clockwork, and suggesting to an imaginative mind that from the composition of the salad, her daughter might prudently omit the vinegar. But no word issued from the majestic matron's lips. And this was more terrific to her husband, as perhaps she knew, than any flow of eloquence with which she could have edified the company. Now, my dear, apostrophe, said Bella in due course, the salad's ready, and it's past supper time. Apostrophe, Mrs. Wilfer rose, but remained speechless. George. Apostrophe, said Miss Lavinia in her voice of warning, Ma's chair. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mr. Sampson flew to the excellent lady's back, and followed her up close chair in hand, as she stalked to the banquet. Arrived at the table, she took her rigid seat, after favoring Mr. Sampson with a glare for himself, which caused the young gentleman to retire to his place in much confusion. The cherub, not presuming to address so tremendous an object, transacted her supper through the agency of a third person, as mutton to your ma, Bella, my dear, and Lavey, I dare say your ma would take some lettuce, if you were to put it on her plate. Apostrophe, Mrs. Wilfer's manner of receiving those viands was marked by petrified absence of mind, in which state, likewise, she partook of them, occasionally laying down her knife and fork, as saying within her own spirit, what is this I am doing? Apostrophe, apostrophe, and glaring at one or other of the party, as if in indignant search of information. A magnetic result of such glaring was, that the person glared at could not by any means successfully pretend to be ignorant of the fact. So that a bystander, without beholding Mrs. Wilfer at all, must have known at whom she was glaring, by seeing her refracted from the countenance of the beggared one. Miss Lavinia was extremely affable to Mr. Sampson on this special occasion, and took the opportunity of informing her sister why. It was not worth troubling you about, Bella, when you were in a sphere so far removed from your family, as to make it a matter in which you could be expected to take very little interest, apostrophe said Lavinia with a toss of her chin. But George Sampson is paying his addresses to me. Apostrophe, Bella was glad to hear it. Mr. Sampson became thoughtfully red, and felt called upon to encircle Miss Lavinia's waist with his arm. But, encountering a large pin in the young lady's belt, scarified a finger, uttered a sharp exclamation, and attracted the lightning of Mrs. Wilfer's glare. George is getting on very well, apostrophe said Miss Lavinia, which might not have been supposed at the moment, and I dare say we shall be married, one of these days. I didn't care to mention it, when you were with your buff apostrophe here, Miss Lavinia checked herself in a bounce, and added more placidly, when you were with Mr. and Mrs. Boffin, but now I think it sisterly to name the circumstance. Apostrophe, thank you, Lavi dear. I congratulate you. Apostrophe, thank you, Bella. The truth is, George and I did discuss whether I should tell you. But I said to George that he wouldn't be much interested in so paltry an affair, and that it was far more likely you would rather detach yourself from us altogether than have him added to the rest of us. Apostrophe, that was a mistake, dear Lavi, apostrophe said Bella. It turns out to be, apostrophe replied Miss Lavinia, but circumstances have changed, you know, my dear. George is in a new situation, and his prospects are very good indeed. I shouldn't have had the courage to tell you so yesterday, when you would have thought his prospects poor and not worth notice, but I feel quite bold tonight. Apostrophe, when did you begin to feel timid, Lavi? Inquired Bella, with a smile. I didn't say that I ever felt timid, Bella, apostrophe replied the irrepressible. But perhaps I might have said, if I had not been restrained by delicacy towards a sister's feelings, that I have for some time felt independent, too independent, my dear, to subject myself to have my intended match. You'll prick yourself again, George, looked down upon. It is not that I could have blamed you for looking. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.